Thank you, Lord, we can come together this morning. We call upon your Holy Spirit to guide us, to anoint us, to open our ears, to enable us to receive from you everything that you have in store for us. We just worship you and praise you, for we know, Lord, that you have a plan for us. Lord, enable us to see the plan, embrace it, and go with it, to be manifested in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God's plan for everybody is to go to heaven, be saved, be blessed. Thing is, it doesn't happen that way for everybody. And sadly, this is not, certainly is not God's will. See, not just everything that God wants happen. Because has given us a will and an ability to make decisions. Okay, that's the way I'm going to go. You know, this week something happened to me. I think it was Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. It's written on my diary. And I woke up and I had a dream. It was an interesting dream. I want to share with you, because the Lord speaks to me through dreams all the time. And I was driving a bus. I was the bus driver. And this bus was full of people, you know, and just stuffed up with people. And it was a long trip that we were taking, that I was driving this bus. And it was taking time. But we had to go to a place, you know, that we, you know, it was... The only thing I can, the word that I can associate, I didn't have that in the dream, but the word that I can associate, you know, is a place, you know, with running with milk and honey. I mean, there was a place, you know, a good place to go to, that all these people were wanting to go there, and I was driving them there. It was pretty exciting, but it was difficult because the road wasn't that easy and was taking a long time. And the road wasn't, you know, there were lots of obstacles in the road. Okay, and finally, we got to a place, and, you know, not only that, but the road was getting narrower and narrower and narrower, that the bus was hardly be able to go through that. You know, it was a big bus with this narrow road. In one side, there was a cliff that was go down for, you know, a long way to the, there was the ocean there, and the other part, you know, the mountain was going up, so you really were stuck, you know. And we were, I know, just doesn't matter if it's narrow, we are going to keep going. And then we got to a place in which there was a 90-degree curve, you know, and I could see, you know, and I tried to go there, and there was no way that I could turn the bus for this was too tight. So I went back, I tried, and I just tried again. And I was able to put the nose of the bus enough to be able to see there. And sure enough, the thing was getting so narrow that the bus was not able to go there. There was no way. And I wasn't too happy about it. And even backing up was not easy. But I started backing up. And I backed up for a little while, and I realized that there was a big place there in which we could park the bus, and people got out and end up camping there. You know, they were there. And they weren't too happy, were not very satisfied because they didn't get to the land with milk and honey. And I wasn't happy either, but I wasn't the way they were. I was determined. They said, wait a minute, no, this, we can get there. So instead of taking the bus, I started walking. I went to the place, and the road was wide enough for me to easily walk through. And I walked about possibly maybe 500 meters or something like that. And then the road was widening up, and there was this big space there. And there was a big mansion with, grass and things, you know, fountains, and I was beautiful. Okay. And that was the place we had to go to. And I said, my goodness, you know, it was only 500 meters. They just had to get out of the bus and start walking. So I went back to where the bus was stopped, and I tried to convince them, but many of them didn't have the, or they had given up. Just 500 meters before reaching the place that they were trying to get to, they give up. And they end up camping in this place that was just on the road after all the things that happened. And I was trying to explain to them, no, don't give up. It's just there. It's close. And I couldn't get across to many of them that actually was so close that the only thing they had to do is to just believe for another 500 meters. And that moment, I was frustrated and woke up. I mean, the meaning is pretty straightforward, wouldn't you say? I mean, was so detailed and was so clear. And we are talking this year about the 2014 that's going to be the best year of your life. It can be, but you had to get out of the bus. And you had to take some steps yourself. I cannot do it for you. Okay, God expects you to take the steps and to believe and to move on. And when you know the direction, you know the road, you know that you're almost there, don't give up just because, you know, you see at the last moment a place where you cannot really see too far in front of your eyes. God is there. The promises are coming. But you have to take the step of faith. Instead of camping where you are and be satisfied or unsatisfied or whatever it is that you are and giving up on the dream, just take hold of that and believe, take the step of faith to go. And that's what we are trying to do with the series that we are covering these days. So let me talk about, you know, the importance of the transformation. See, if you want to get different results, you had to be different. If you are the same as you were before, if you think the way you thought before, you're going to get the results you got before. So the only way for some changes to happen in your circumstances, in your life, there are some changes that have to happen before within you. This is the way spiritual things work. You know, it works inside and then manifests itself on the outside. And so this is the place where we have to understand how to make those changes happen inside. And there are a number of ways that you can do that, a number of ways that you can cooperate. You see, God gives us His promises. And this is the basis for our transformation. You see, according to us embracing His promises, we can appropriate them, and so we have to change the way we think. You know, you look at one promise from God, and you look at yourself and say, you know, how do I feel about that? What is my heart saying about it? Do you feel that it's true for you, or you think, oh, this is too nice to be true? Well, if you think that it's too nice to be true, or it's hard to receive, or it's hard to grasp, that's what you're going to experience. So you have to get to the place where you think, this is mine. And you have to understand how to get to that place. Doesn't matter how far-fetched, or how impossible it may appear, all things are possible with do and believe. God can do all things. He created the whole universe. There is nothing that he cannot do that you can think. He can do more than what you can think. That's the thing. So you have to start be able to think the way he thinks to be able to get the things that he thinks that you should do. Are you grasping what I'm saying? So we have to be able to line up our inner thoughts, the thoughts of our heart, with its promises. And we have to learn to do that. This is walking by faith. This is walking, you know, the walk of faith. The faith walk is nothing else than walking according to what God says rather than what you think or what anybody says or what you see. And it's not an easy thing for us to do because we are in the flesh. And so we had to learn to walk in a new way. And it's a process. It's a transformation that has to take place. That transformation that is mentioned in Rome, Romans chapter 12, it says, you know, that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, our mind has to be renewed. It's more than just that you're thinking. It's the thinking of your heart that has to be changed. Now, that is an important. Any negative idea contrary to the word of God has to be cast down. Now, God has given us all the equipment, all the tools for us to become free. But, you know, you can have a bulldozer. But if you don't use the bulldozer and you have something to dig or to move around, you're not going to be able to do it. So you need to use the tools that you have to be able to achieve the results that you should want to achieve or that God promises to achieve, to say, but not in your own strength, in his strength that you are going to be able to do it. So you have to be able to learn to use the tools that he has given you or given us so that we are going to be able to get the results that he has promised us. If we go and try to do it by our own strength, we are not going to succeed. And that's sad because this is not what God wants us to do. So, one of the things we had to really do is to be able to hear, you know, and to receive direction from the Lord. You know, Jesus, one of the things that he explained very clearly when he was leaving earth was that to wait until the power is come upon us. The power of the Holy Spirit is essential. The Holy Spirit, our connection with the Holy Spirit is essential for our ability to be able to get things done in a spiritual way. You see, he is the one giving us the power, the strength, the abilities to do things. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are nothing else than abilities or endowments that God gives us so that we can achieve the things in the spiritual level that otherwise we would not be able to achieve. So we had to be open to operate in that way, to have these gifts operating in us. And the more we are going to see that happening, and the more God is going to be able to work through us, we become channels of God's power, and he's not us anymore. See, it's my desire to allow him to do the work that he wants to do through me, even if sometime I'll do it differently. Because my mind would think something else. And I learned long time ago, sometime to put my mind on the shelf when it comes to decide things for God. Because often, you know, my mind had to be renewed. And the way we judge things is not the way God judges things. So, you know, Jesus' mandate, beside the Great Commission, you know, was to wait until, you wait in Jerusalem, wait until your power is come upon you, then you will be my witnesses. And when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the message that Peter repeated was exactly the same message, explaining, you know, this is what. And it's referring back to the prophecy by Joel in chapter 2, you know, talking about what was happening then. I'm going to just read it to you because it's important for us to make that connection. See, often, much of what happens in Christianity is, you know, we study, and is we need to study the Word. We need to understand, to have the mind appropriating the same thing, but it's not enough. A Bible study is not enough. You know, Jesus said it very clearly. You know, that we err, we make mistakes because of two reasons. We don't know the Scripture, so we had to know the Scripture. We had to learn the Scripture. We had to study the Scripture. But that's not enough. We had to also know the power of God. See, because when we know the power of God, that means, you know, we are in communion with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that actually directs us and empowers us to do the things that need to be done. The one that reveals to us the meaning of what we are reading. And give us the understanding. You see, it's the one that changes the heart. It's the heart that needs to be changed. Okay, I have chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised up his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed to my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose," because it was a bit exuberant, they were speaking in tongues. Chapter 2, verse 14, Acts. Oh, what did I say? Oh, yeah, no. Yes. Joel chapter 2. These verses are taken exactly from Joel chapter 2. So, but it's Acts that I'm reading. Acts chapter 2. Yeah. You can read whatever because it says the same thing. All right. So I start again. Are you there? Everybody? Good. Now it says here, "But Peter, standing out with the 11, raised up his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed to my words. For they are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams.'" Well, you know, evidently I classify as old men. "And on my men servants and my maiden servant, I'll pour out my spirit on those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven and above and in sign on the earth beneath, blood and fire and blood and vapor of smoke," and so on and go on. The idea is that, you know, God is going to work through people in a different way, in a supernatural way. And he's going to enable them to receive direct communication from him, from dreams and visions, for example. Now, you say, well, you know, I can just read the Bible. Oh, yeah, you can read the Bible. But, you know, if you don't connect with him on a deeper level, you can read the Bible and get very little. The Bible has to be activated in you. First, that to be revealed. First, the Holy Spirit has to shed light on the meaning of the things, because sometimes things are not that clear. You know? And second, you know, then has to be activated in your heart so that it becomes effective. and you are able to do the things that the Bible says. But you cannot do that in your flesh. They have to be done with the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is what has to happen. See, this is about the transformation. You see, our cleaning up doesn't happen because we are trying to be clean. It's God that cleans us. He burns up the stuff that shouldn't be there. But it's not going to happen. You see, how do you get the fire to burn the chaff? Well, you have to get close to the fire. If you are far away, if you're not in communion with God, there is no the fire there to burn up anything. So it's only when you get closer to God that He is able to take away the things that should not be there. And this is a very important part of our process. You know, we had to sanctify ourselves. We had to separate ourselves from the world to be able to make these things happen. We had to make, and that means, you know, we had to just not get religious and get closer to God so that God can work with us. We start experiencing God's love and presence and power in our life. So the Holy Spirit working within us so that transformation, that change happen on a deeper level, not just in the mental realm. See, the fire of God has to come to clean us up from the things that should not be there. And it's not in our strength. And it's in anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. The anointing doesn't mean that we are weird, like some people make it look. The anointing means that you can do things that otherwise are not possible to others. You know, there are many ways that we can do that. You know, first of all, communion, you know, praying communion. You know, but praying, you know, we can pray the wrong way, and instead of helping us, it just makes us religious. We have to pray the word. We have to pray the way God speaks. We have to, you know, our prayer should be throwing back to God His promises. Speaking them out as they are yours, because they are yours because He's given them to you. He's being convinced that what He has given us is ours. And we are not doing to God, you know, taking advantage of God if you appropriate what He has given to us. But we are doing His will in taking what God has given us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because some people think, you know, that you're trying to get what God has given you. You are materialistic or you are selfish. Well, you're not selfish. You are humble because you accept what God said compared to what anybody else thinks. This is why we have to learn to change the way we think. We need to have the Holy Spirit ministering to us. And, you know, dreams sometimes are a way that God speaks to us. Not all dreams is God speaking to us. You know, sometimes we have had too much pizza or somebody, right? And we have, you know, or whatever, or chili or whatever, you know, and we have dreams. So we have to discern and understand dream from dream. I'm going to teach on that sometime soon because this is an area that I understand well. You see, you can actually change your heart when God speaks to you through your dreams. Because at that moment, your mind is not in the way. You see, this is the Bible often talks about the vision of the night, which are actually nothing else but the time when you are between awake and asleep. Okay, and you have this vision or these things come to you. Now, You know, I think some time ago I said, you know, before you go to bed, you ask God to speak to you. Finish, fall asleep praying to God. Asking God to reveal to you things. Because, you know, the purpose of dreams is really to reveal to you what you are not getting otherwise, because your mind is in the way. And you cannot, you see, your gatekeeper is not active when you are dreaming. So you can get right through to the heart. And if you understand the way God speaks through dreams, you know, don't get one of these books as imperial interpretation, that's junk. I mean, you know, you have to understand the way God works spiritually. And then you are going to see what He's telling you through your dreams, because there are different types of dreams. Not all dreams are the same. Not today. This is coming. But you know, dreams is one way that God speaks to us. Meditation is another. You see, there is a difference between dream and meditation. In dream, you are not willingly making any decision. It's your heart receiving and trying to communicate to your head things that your head generally are on the subconscious level. Well, you don't get it. Meditation is the opposite way around. You see, it's your decision, your things, that you take some things and you start thinking about them deeply enough until they penetrate down to your heart. Now, you can do and meditate on the wrong thing, and that's not going to produce good results. Like, for example, when you are worrying, what you are doing, you are meditating, but on the wrong results. So what you do? You are there fretting, you are there sweating, you are there agitated, you are there, and you create in yourself those images of all the things that are going to be bad or not working or whatever. Sometimes you have nightmares that are similar to that. Okay? In that case, what you are doing is you are planting in your heart, when you are worrying, the wrong thing. This is why God says, rejoice all the time. That's why He just said, think about good things, not the good bad things. That's why God says, you know, the way He teaches us how to cast down imagination. So, but that doesn't mean cast down all imagination. I mean, you have to actually start using your imagination for the things that God wants to do with you. If God gives you a vision, if God gives you a prophecy or a word or something, and it's something, you better start not casting that down. Don't, the dreams that God gives you, don't cast them down. You are going against what He's trying to do. And you can mess it up. See, because we have will. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we can make, God works through us. And was working through us, He achieves His purposes when we line up with His word, and He can be using us in the thing. You know, just because God told you something, it may be even true, but if you don't line up, you never get it. Some people ask, but God said it, it's going to happen. Well, I don't know. Not necessarily. Well, that's another big topic I'm going to not. Anyway, what I'm saying to you, you see, the Word of God is clearly show, number one, the people in the Old Testament and even the Bible in the New Testament, and even, you know, in the Book of Acts, everywhere, when you're talking about people's experiences, talk about how God used dreams to talk to them and communicate the messages that were for to help them, so that they would have the understanding and the ability to make the right decisions. given those circumstances. But also, God talks about that we should, for example, Psalm 1 or Philippians chapter 4, you know, to meditate on the right thing, and we are going to be having success and good results. So there are two ways in which we can change our heart by using spiritual tools that God has given us to transform us. Not just, you know, it's going to happen like that. It's not going to God is not going, you know, he says, you know, that we are transformed and become like him as he see him as he is. You see, we need the revelation to see him as he is, not the religious image that we see in the movies. See, God doesn't look at the outside. Are you following what I'm saying? So what has to happen? And we're going to go in detail more on that. This is just the beginning. I'm going to, you know, deal with all, you know, the dreams and how, what to do with them. How to, you know, so that you discern what type of dreams you get. I'm going to talk about meditation and how you work on that. The important thing, you know, the final result is not that you want to go anywhere you want. You want to, you know, worldly ideas that you work with. If you go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says that, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, let the word of God, or the word of Christ, dwell in you richly. See, we had to allow the word to really take root inside us, so that it becomes part of us. In all way, not that just mentally. See, Jesus, the word says, was the word made flesh. What has to happen to us is that that's us to, when we become like him, that's what we should become. The word has to go inside us and take over our life. It's not an effort. It's not by trying things. It's by actually doing things and lining ourselves up and allowing God to make the work inside us that needs to be done. You know, I often say you cannot pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, it just doesn't work. You know, it has to be him pulling you up. And this is the difference between Christianity and all the other religion, where people try to do things and sometimes, you know, trying to do good things, but they still remain flesh. You see, it's God that makes the difference. Now, you know, let me finish reading against this, you know. Let the word of God reach, you know, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song. You know, songs are a form of meditation. You know, you go around singing songs all the time, you know, the little tune that goes inside your head. And, you know, it keeps going on and on. And you better watch what you're singing. I mean, you know, I'm talking about you know, stuff that now the young people sing that they get from the world. I mean, some words that they have inside them, you know, what kind of effect is going to have on their heart? The same things that they're saying. So, you know, even if they do not agree, and you let that thing stay there, it's going to change the way you are. The fact is, the sad thing is that this is true even with Christian songs. Many times, you know, the majority of the worship leaders have no idea, spiritually, about what they're talking about from a theological point of view. Lots of modern songs, especially, they have a theology that is completely wrong. So, people, they go around because they like the tune and they like the music, and they use the right word, the wrong word. What happens is that they, without knowing it, they are writing in their heart the wrong message. We try to, as much as possible, screen out only the one that are, you know, they're not too bad. So before I sang here, we generally go through the words and make sure that the words are okay. But there are many that times that they aren't. You know, all these songs, talking about all the things, you know, all the bad things that happened to me, but I have Jesus. You know, they have such a negative implication on you that they are not victorious songs. There is no victory in those songs. They're just a magnification of all the trouble that we go through. You sing about your trouble, what do you think you're going to manifest in your life? So, I rather don't think. So don't sing. I rather, when I hear it, I just don't want to know that song. I don't get it in my head. Don't tell me, because I already have enough problem with my own thinking. I don't want somebody else's wrong thinking to start influencing me. So, you know, but the point is, if you don't know the difference, and many people don't know the difference, then they're automatically sucked into this kind of thinking. Because, you know, I know even people that have been exposed to this for a long time. You know, sometimes you hear them pray, and they're praying the wrong idea, the wrong type of prayer. And you say, and, you know, sometimes when I hear that, I scratch my head and say, you know, do anybody hear what I'm saying? Why? Because, you know, it takes much to go inside the heart of the people. That is not, you know, they can agree with me when they hear me saying it, but when it comes out of their mouth, out of the abundance of their heart, the mouth speaks. You know, after how many years I've been walking the walk of faith and teaching it for probably 20 years or so. You know, even now, the Lord once in a while brings up some stuff and says, look how negative you are. You better change that. With that faith. And I had to repent. Okay, you have to repent. You say, okay, I better start changing the way I think about this. Hopefully, it's less and less, but still. So, anyway, we should focus on what God has given us and appropriate what God has given us and not focus on our problems or difficulties or shortcomings or things, because otherwise what we're going is to magnify them. Our inability. You see, we do not realize the power that God has given us to overcome. We think that just somebody, see, every believer has the potential to manifest the power of God the way Jesus did. He said that the things that I do, you shall do also in greater works than I do, because I go to my Father. Do we believe that? Well, you know, you hear that and theologians start to make all the excuses because that's why it's not true. I'm sorry. I don't care what theologian says that. Jesus said something different. And I take Jesus to all the theologians. And it's not a confusing statement there. This is pretty clear. It's black and white. Either is true or is not true. Now, that we may not be able to get to that place because of our limitations in our thinking and our belief and our faith is another story. But the potential is there. And the way to expand my potential is to start accepting and believing it so that I can appropriate what he has done for me. Otherwise, I'll never will. So I don't have to look at myself. You see, if I look at myself, I can see all the things that I don't do right. But if I look at him, it rubs on. See, my friend, past founder of our association, Alex Ness, wrote a book called Transference of Spirits. And was explaining how, you know, the vicinity, being close to somebody, you know, the spirit of the person is transferred to the others in all positive and negative way. And if you just get close to God, what do you think is going to happen? You know, some of the things you see, you start, you know, if you go with bad company, what happens? You go with good company, what happens? So go close to the best company that you can get, Jesus and God. What do you think is going to happen? So this is what we want. We want to have that fellowship, that communion, that interaction, that continuous relationship going on between us so that some of them rubs on us, some of them is transferred to us. We need it because that's the only way we are going to be able to do the things that we are called to do. Praise the Lord. So, in Romans 8:11, says very clearly that if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the same spirit will quicken even your mortal body. Hello. You know, is that spirit, this is the same spirit that raised, you know, getting to Easter, so this is a good topic now, you know, but the fact that that resurrection power, the grace Jesus from the dead, he was dead, and for 3 days, you know, and you know, can imagine what in 3 days happened, you know, that spirit was able to put together his body again, make him alive, and he's going to make alive us, even our body. I mean, that's more than just healing. That's just living in health, having strength, overcoming difficulties and limitations and everything else. Who doesn't want that? I don't see many hands. I mean, is this selfish? No, this is giving glory to God. So you don't give glory to God by suffering. You give glory to God by manifesting him in your life. See, what you suffer, people that think that by suffering they give glory to God are just the opposite. Because by suffering, you give glory to yourself. You see how good I am? I suffer. Hello? There is nothing to glorify yourself if God is working through you and you are the manifestation and you know that you have nothing to do with that. People may be jealous about that. People may not like you for that, the way they didn't like Jesus. But that's their problem, not yours. I mean, all the time, when you are successful, people are not going to like it. Why? Because they want to be at your place. Well, that's their problem. What we had to do is to give glory to God and obey Him and believe in Him and trust in Him and take the step that He called us to do, and so that we can become the people that He wants us to be, because He needs the people to be His representative for us down here. See, at the end, that's what's going to happen. We are getting closer to that. That's why there is the understanding and the revelation. I'm not the only one saying these things. Probably there are not too many, but there are enough. Praise the Lord. You know, this is really nothing else. You know, salvation becomes such a religious term. You know, this is nothing else than appropriating our salvation. Our salvation means that, you know, deliverance from the bondages that we have. Is breaking off the limitation that we have. The fact that we're going to go to heaven. Oh yeah, that's part of it, but heaven starts now. God start to work with us now. Otherwise, how are we going to be working later? You know, the manifestation has to start happening now. This is what was true with Jesus. You see, you are born again and you are going to see and enter the kingdom of God. You are not going to wait to get into there. You know, I mean, the going to heaven is just a transition from one state to another. But the thing happened before when you were born again. And you have to start living in heaven right now. This is the God's way. This is what God wants. See, this is what we can experience. But you know, I cannot do it for you. You have to take the little 500 meters walk at the end. I can just show you the way. I get you to the corner. And then you have to take the corner by yourself. And it's a land flowing with milk and honey. I'll tell you, milk and honey. Praise the Lord. Is that right? Oh. Are you still with me? Are we going to take these 500 meters? You know, we're going to talk more about, you see, it's so important, and I would like, you know, we get so busy about doing good work that we don't do the work that we should do. The work that is good. You know what I mean? You know, in the ministry, there is so many things to do that you end up having to do all these things that instead you should be spending more time in doing some other things. It's just like everybody else. You know, the world keeps you busy. You know? And that's not very good. You have to find the time to spend one-to-one with the Father and charge yourself up. I would like to do much more than what I'm doing now. I confess that. And it's not that I don't. It's just that I find I want more. I need more. And if we would do more, I'll get more too. I know that. It's not the question of, I'm not lacking. I'm not in need. I want more. See, lots of people, I need God, and they're desperate. Well, I'm sorry, that's the wrong idea. You see, it's not that you're not desperate with God. You are, you know, if you know Him, you cannot be desperate. Some songs, you know, talk about how desperate you are without Him. Well, you're not without Him. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's make some decisions. Father, we thank You. Thank You for what You made available to us. Thank You, Lord, that we know that there is more than we can ever think or dream in the gifts and the power and the anointing and the freedom and the joy and the peace and everything, Lord, that You have done for us. So, Lord, let us help us to keep our eyes on You and not on other things. To connect with You more than with any other things. And to receive from You, Lord, all the things that we need because You know them better than we do ourselves. And we thank You in advance, Lord, because we expect it to see coming to pass. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.